Before we get started, I want to thank the folks at Racetech, racetech.com. Tell them you listen to Pulp, get a discount. Gold valves, motor work, suspension parts, springs, all of that stuff. They'll do it all for you. They'll revalve in a box with the gold valve package. Racetech.com. Tell them you listen to Pulp, you get a discount. All right, on to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration.
Thanks for listening, buddy, to the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. This is the Indianapolis Supercross Race Review, and we have a special guest, our guy Phil Nicoletti, in studio as well for this one. So looking forward to talking to Phil. And also we have Jason Wygant and Jason Thomas, of course, joining us. And thanks to the folks at Fly Racing, Cooper Webb, Fly Racing athlete. Use code PULPMX at flyracing.com direct, and you can save with the folks at Fly Racing. And whether it's the helmet, the Evo gear, it's all great stuff. Many lines of safety packages, many lines of innovation on there. They got the Bowler closure system. The kinetic mesh is out as well. Formula helmet's amazing. Flyracing.com, head to toe, they have you covered in really cool-looking stuff. Check out that kinetic mesh, like I mentioned. It just dropped. And, yeah, the guys were wearing it this weekend. Thank you to Fly Racing, flyracing.com, and also Maxxis Tires. Fast Freddy Noren putting in the main event with Maxxis Tires. PRMX guys are using Maxxis as well, with Yoder and the boys. Great mountain bike tires, of course, you know that. McGrath developed the soft intermediate to hard terrain tires. And if you are in the market for a tire and you haven't thought about Maxxis for a while, well, please check them out. Maxxis.com for more information on that. Motorsport.com we'll tell you about later on. But also Renthal, Renthal.com. Factory Honda, KTM, Monster Energy Kawasaki, using Renthal, sprockets, chains, bars. They got lock-on grip now. The lock-on grip sales, I guess, are doing really, really well. And no modifications needed on their lock-on grip. Thank you to the folks at Renthal. They got a dealer inventory locator on their website. They have a bar bend compatible chart as well on their website. And their mountain bike parts are now available in power sports dealers across the country. So when you look at their bars and stems, all of it, Renthal.com for more information. Thank you to them. Thanks to all the sponsors. Thank you, people. Don't forget the LCQ challenge. Don't forget the live show in Seattle coming up as well. Friday night before Seattle, we got a live show. Tickets available on pulpmx.com. So yeah, lots to get into on the show. Indianapolis Showdown and more. Thanks for listening. Away we go. All right, everybody, let's talk about some Indianapolis Showdown and the 450 main event, of course, here on the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. Fly Racing just racking up another 450 Supercross win. That's what they do. Probably the dominant brand in 450 Supercross once again, Fly Racing. And from Fly Racing, it is Jason Thomas. Who's up, JT? How are you?
Not too much. I just want to say thanks to Phil for facilitating Cooper Webb into Fly Racing. We've never looked back ever since that moment, so I very much appreciate it on that front.
I'm just here to help.
Yep, absolutely. So, thanks, Phil. Thanks for that.
You're welcome for the assist.
And also here, he was the live announcer this weekend, not in the TV booth, but if you're paying, he's saying it's the Jason Wygant. What's up, Weege?
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot to discuss there. So I got to work with Brayton and AC, which is great. And the rest of it is just real work.
We were dying laughing. Phil, were you in the press box for the opening ceremonies when Weege first came on?
No.
Oh. Okay, so you probably couldn't hear him. Weege, your opening bit had us rolling because you were like, "Welcome to Supercross, and you sound like you were falling down a cliff because you don't have Lurch's like pipes.
It's unbelievable.
You don't have Lurch's pipes for that long, so you were strong, and then you were like Supercross. We were like, is he falling down? A cliff? It was great.
It wasn't. I'll just blame myself. It wasn't quite the way some of the things were supposed to be done. And I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
I was supposed to do that,
but I was getting confused on the cues, and it was like, wait, now, oh shoot, I'm late, and I really wasn't prepared.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, I'm gonna have to do this.
Okay.
I was watching
because I did this at like six races in 2023.
Yeah,
and it was fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But something about the timing and things, I was getting confused constantly. Where it was like, I'm like, are you telling me this is what's coming up? Oh, you mean right now? You mean now I'm late? Now everything's messed up? And it kind of compromises how you
okay.
do it.
Okay. All right, JT, go ahead.
Yeah, I will be better at Foxborough.
You were fine. Yeah. Just that was the funniest moment where we were like,
yeah,
is he...
I was not ready. I was like 5 seconds behind and then trying to wing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
JT?
I don't want to talk because I feel like Weege isn't done.
No, he's fine. He's done.
I was watching Weege do this in person. I couldn't stop laughing in person.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So JT, so you, like, you were on the floor and he was 10 feet away when he, what, for the opening when he did this?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're in the same area most of the night.
Okay.
Haley's around some, but Weege was doing his bit of the show from the same area I was most of the time. So, I'm kind of locked in when the racing's happening.
Yeah.
But during the downtime, he was 2 feet away from me, and I'm just staring at him into the microphone. It is amazing.
Yeah, it was good. We were up in the press box, just like, is he okay? Did he just pass out? Did he fall down? Because we couldn't see you. Yeah, it was just great.
So. I would never do this job, by the way. Never ever. I was scheduled to do it once.
Oh, really?
Oakland of 23.
Oh,
they wanted me to do this, and thank God the race got canceled because of the flooding. I would, if they asked me to do it, I would tell them no, and I don't tell anybody no to do anything.
Yeah,
I would tell them no.
Yeah, no, you did a good job, Weege. I mean, obviously, like you said, you've done it before. It's not that big of a deal. You've literally done it for decades, but that part was hilarious. Yeah, so.
I was not happy with it. We will be better at Foxborough,
but it does make me just absolutely sick when you and JB are going back and forth, and he's like, "That's an excellent point. It's an excellent point, Weege." And you're like, "Go ahead, JB." And it's just like, "Oh my God,
they're
these
just two popping each other out,
that's dude." That you and Timmy and Phil and everybody else do.
Okay, all right, feeling. All right, okay, fine. What about when Jet Lawrence came to the press box, JT? What about that?
It was awesome. He was so good. He was on like a world media junket. It was incredible.
Do you feel like Dan or Hammer or someone was like, go talk to them. Go talk to them. Do you feel like that?
No. I honestly believe that this is who these people are when they don't have the weight of racing on their shoulders.
Okay. Okay.
That's what I believe. That's because when you look at that's how Jet is. That's how Cooper Webb is. That's how Ricky has gotten now that he doesn't race anymore. Like, take your pick of personality.
Yeah.
Remove the racing from it and the pressure and the ego and all those things that come with it, and they are completely different people. That's what I think we saw from Jet.
Yeah, he was up there. You were up there, I think. He was up there for like 30 minutes just shooting the shit. I mean,
I wasn't there when he was there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we all know he's a good dude, you know, but yeah, I was like, oh, Jet's just hanging out.
Wadding Steve's fitness.
Yeah.
Just.
Oh, yeah.
I literally told him to stop. Like, please
stop
because we will never hear the end of this privately.
I'm better than. Jet says I'm better than him on a bicycle. I'll be better when he heals up. I'm looking good. It was a lot.
Man.
It was a lot, Phil.
Weird. It's weird. Friendship is like reborn.
As he gets finally back on a bicycle, maybe you need to go out there and see what you got.
I said, let's do it. And then
a great video.
And then I said, well, once you're healed up, and he goes, no, you'll be better than me when you heal up, when I heal up. And I'm like, all right, that's what I want to hear.
Oh, this would be great.
He said he went on an e-bike on his bike. You know, he's got his ACL. He went on an e-bike. the battery died, and then he was trying to just pedal with his left leg, and that wasn't good for a while.
No.
And then he had to pedal with his right.
No. That's literally an uphill battle.
I don't know why he took an e-bike where the battery went dead. That probably part should have been, yeah. All right, let's get into this again. Thank you to Renthal and Maxxis Tires of motorsport.com. And, of course, Fly Racing. Use code PULPMX when you check out at flyracing.com. Phil, let's start with you because Cooper Webb's your friend. And that was he grabbed the lead before the end of the first lap from Bam Bam. And that was a clinic. And I was like, holy shit, he's riding so good. And then what popped into my mind was your rant on some text messages and your Racer X column where he's an opportunist. People are saying he's an opportunist. He's only winning, you know, not on speed and when people make mistakes. And then I thought of you.
Yeah. I mean, this weekend was clutch. I mean, even from get-go, free practice, time qualifying, like even when he went down in the whoops, he got up and I still think he went P4 in that practice. And when he came out firing for that heat race, he greased his start and he was checking out. I'm just like, he's on fire tonight. And when that main event gate drop happened and he was behind Bam and he knew he had to get Bam right away so he could get away before he started playing all the tag team shit with him. And he did. And it was just a clutch ride.
Yeah, it was
clutch.
And look, he had a rough day. He went down in the whoops. He went down in the sand. He went down in the heat. Mm-hmm. So, like, it wasn't a typical smooth day for him.
But he was fast.
Yes.
Like, he was fast all day, and his starts were, I think that was a saving grace, you know.
Yeah.
I think even if he would have started fifth, I still think he would have maybe still would have won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the best guy. But I talked to him after the race, and he said he walked in, and he's just like, dude, that was the easiest race of my career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he...
Mm-hmm.
You know, that came from him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
JT, it's, I said this with Hemecker because I do feel like if Seth starts fifth, he probably doesn't win that race. But when you start first with those track conditions, you can ride where you want to go. You can be loose a little bit. You don't have pressure. You can pick your lines. You got to pick good ones. But like, and I feel like the same thing with Coop where, again, like Phil said, that start is so big and you can just ride your own race. Wherever you want to go.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. And you know, the 250 class is a little bit different dynamic because of the added traffic that they normally don't have to deal with. And we talked about this, you know, on your shows and elsewhere, that the start in the 250 showdowns are so critical because you have so many riders that are very similar in speed. And the biggest differentiator is where are they at the end of the first lap and how hard is it going to be to get to the front? And for Hemecker, you know, he's a rider that over the course of his history has raced with a lot of risk in his style. He takes a lot of chances. I don't believe he's always known where the limit is, and that's gotten him in a lot of trouble over the years. He's thrown away good results because he wasn't sure where his own limitation was on a particular day or night. It seems like, and I will give Jet credit here, it seems like what they've done, you know, Michael Byrne has really tried to lower that risk profile, put him in a place where it's like, hey, this is repeatable, this is sustainable. And it looked like he was doing that. It looks like he's done that, honestly, throughout 2025. You know, outside of a food poisoning incident in Detroit, he hasn't had those huge moments thus far that we've seen from him basically from day one. You know, he's always been fast. He's always been capable. But the up and down for him has been impossible to really turn into anything long term in a series.
Yeah.
So that was great to see.
Well, yeah, that's great analysis. But I was just comparing Coop and Hemecker getting a start. We're still talking about Webb. I was just saying, like Seth, getting the start for Coop was huge for anybody on that track. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, for Webb, really, anytime he's gotten out front this year, it's kind of been wiped out for the most part.
Yeah.
So when he got to the front, and I was watching Sexton closely, and once he wasn't able to break that like 3 second gap, and it actually started going the other way, I was like, all right, well, this race is over. As far as the win goes, like, let's see what else what else is going to happen?
Yeah.
Of course, we got all the other chaos. But yeah, I understand your point. I wanted to make that point with Hanmaker, because there have been so many years where, and the reason I threw it in there was the start for Hanmaker wouldn't have always mattered in years prior. He could have given him the start, and he would have found a way to make it crazy in the past, and he didn't do that this time.
But I'm with Phil a little bit, Weege, where, like, okay, I think that start helped Kupel huge, and I think it helped Hanmaker huge. And Larry Brooks told me, like, Kenny qualified quickest and, you know, went down in the first turn. And so that's it, and didn't get the start. But, Weege, I'm with Phil. Like, I think Coop, if Coop starts 10th, he's on the box 100% and maybe winning even still with the way he rode.
Dude, Sexton got to second, and Sexton wasn't gaining. I mean, that's that's the bar right now on speed, right? Like, he wasn't the third fastest guy and still won the race. I don't know how you could argue that anyone was faster.
Right.
And the speed thing, we had none other than Jeff Stanton just come bounding up to the stage at our live show on Friday, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yep.
And speaking of him, he is the ultimate of the what he's like away from the races and what he's like the day of the race, the point that JT brought up earlier. Now Stanton, the coolest, wildest dude. And there's legend stories of Team Honda guys hanging out at his house between races being like, he's like the craziest, wildest dude ever, but on race day, he's the most serious guy ever. But the reason I'm bringing up Stanton is Stanton, I think, is known as, like, he figured out a way to get it done, even though he didn't have the speed. But I feel like his whole career, he was, at worst, the third fastest guy. And then people say that about Dunge. It's like, oh, he didn't have the speed, but he figured out a way to get it done. And I'm like, yeah, but how many races was Dunge ever in where he was worse than the fourth fastest guy? Like, in his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
He was never, like, the ninth fastest dude or the 15th and figured out a way to win. And I feel like that's the brand that Cooper gets. Like, okay, does he have the fastest lap time in the main? No. But there's probably maybe two other guys on the track that can go faster than him. Like, there's 18 other guys in the gate that are like, I wish I could go as fast as Cooper Webb.
Yeah, no.
But you somehow get branded as not having speed, and it's like, hey, right. Well, you have more speed than all but three dudes.
Right, exactly.
You're not actually slow.
You're 98th percentile fast. You know, yeah, exactly. No, you're right. You're totally
right. Do you wish you were as fast as Cooper Webb on a 450 in Supercross?
I give my left nut to be as fast.
That's what I'm saying. You know? But he gets, like, branded as, like, well, he doesn't have speed.
Well, that's why I thought of Phil, because Phil got a column or a question in his column last week or the week before about, like,
Phil was hot.
Yeah, Phil was hot.
About you were very hot, Phil.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's annoying.
Yeah.
Because he's really fast, Cooper Webb.
Yeah.
When Stanton retired, Bevo 40 said, everybody always said Stanton didn't have speed. I saw him battle Bradshaw over and over and over, and Bradshaw was as fast as anybody ever, and Stanton would battle him. So how did he not have speed?
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Kind of the same thing with Coop.
So Sexton goes down in the sand. 15 points now.
Mm-hmm.
15 points. You can't do that. You can't do that, dude. No. You got to get second. You got to win, first of all. Mm-hmm. But you got to get second. Yeah. I don't think – so we have this very popular segment on my show called I Don't Know, Man, about, you know, guys on the track, and Sexton has got it for 3 weeks in a row for me. I don't think it's a I Don't Know, Man. Because, you know, it is – he just fell. Like, it happens. I'm not – it wasn't a Daytona fade or a hit-the-gate thing or a insert Sexton folly here.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't – yeah, 15 points, Phil.
Yeah, that's pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know – I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I really –
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I'm at a loss of words.
I mean, you know, people fall down. So.
Yeah. No, that's why I'm not.
No, no.
Caught in the heat, right?
No,
Coop never makes that mistake in the heat.
No,
and he did. So it's not. To me, it's not like it's so crazy that he fell in the sand. It's just been this many times in a row, right?
Yeah,
Coop's fallen in the sand plenty of times, and he races. But with Chase, like at that point in time when he went down, the race is already set in and it's over, you know? Coop is 8 seconds up. Jay Coop's 5 seconds back. Like, that's an eternity for those guys, you know? Like, I don't know how that tip over happened, you know? It just, I'm baffled by it, you know, but 15 points is a big thing. But we've seen in the past, like, you can be 15 points up, 20 points up, but it only takes one round for that to get wiped away. So it's not over by any means, but it's definitely a nice cushion.
Chase did have that. JT, I didn't watch the broadcast back, but did you do a little thing on Chase's far right line in the sand there, like the right on the edge? Were you talking about that at all?
Ricky was talking about it. Vial was using it.
Yep. Vial started it.
But Ricky definitely was talking about it.
It was pretty sweet. It was pretty cool.
That was cool. Yeah. But I think what Coop was doing was even better.
No.
The first couple laps?
Yeah.
But
once that went away, then, yeah.
But he was still getting it.
Dude, Chase's was better.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Coop pulled like a 5-second lead.
Doing that.
Yeah, but I don't think Chase found that line right away. I don't think Chase was doing it right from the start.
No, right off the bat.
The gap that determined the end of the race was found on the first lap.
Nah, in that section, Chase's line was better.
Chase was doing
whatever you want.
Chase was doing that line.
We're talking about won the race.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's 98% more of the track that Coop was going faster on.
You tell me where he pulled out that gap that he sustained the rest of the race.
And everywhere on the track.
No, okay. That gap came from there. That sand section.
Oh my god! No,
you should go back and watch.
I watched Chase go next to guys like AP or Bam that were doing what Coop was doing, kinda. He was yarding them.
They weren't doing.
Coop was just banging off of it.
No, Coop was downsiding.
He jumped the queen the first three laps.
Yeah,
that's what we're talking about.
But then that went away. That went away, and then it was
The gap was already sustained. Like
it was over.
You're not recognizing.
Whatever.
Press box, JT. Can't see much from the press box. Well, so high up there.
Steve's never done it on this level.
Oh, here we go. Well, I thought that line was sweet from Vial and Chase.
It was
cool. But I thought Coop's line was even more cool.
Yeah, until it went away. Did he do it three? Did he even do it three laps? Then he was banging off of it. Then he wasn't downsiding anymore. He was, you know, coming over.
Wasn't good later. For sure. You're right about that.
But the wall went away too.
Yeah, the wall did go away.
He got that lead over Barcia. He nailed that line a couple times, and then it was like, even on the broadcast, you're like, holy crap, like, how did he do the lead? But then we finally showed him jumping that, and you could just see him just killing everybody.
You need to get a dart fish on this. I got a dart fish this. Weege, speaking of that, were you up in your Weege's wedge?
Yeah, right on top of the sand, watching those lines.
Okay. How hammered was that track, dude? Oh, my God. I saw some photos from some guys that were down there at the end of the night. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, I did walk the whole track after
the
Weege show. Yep. And then somehow, I guess, the camera didn't record it, so that sucks. I'll tell you, you want to know something insane? I'll tell you something insane about the sand. So the Dirtworks guys were saying that there was obviously a lot of water in the track.
Yeah.
We know with Indy. There were three of the holes in those rollers that had standing water in them after the 450 main. So the deeper they dug, they just kept getting to more water. That's how heavy that sand was. I cannot believe there was a puddle in the track after 3 hours of racing.
Well, there was a puddle off the track, and I was texting the dirt jerk saying, guys, this isn't a swamp or a GNCC. That's not a good look to fill that puddle in.
Yes.
And I was, I got a text back. It is what it is. So
sounds about right
for the dirt jerks. I'm like, hey, you guys think you should maybe throw some sand in that puddle? Like, do you think is this Endurocross or?
Yeah. I talk crap on the Dirtworks guys all the time about their stuff, but they did a good job. They did the best that they could with the track.
Yeah. So
every time they went out there,
somebody in my post race interview said it was better than it's been the last few years. Mm-hmm. The work they were doing, it was better. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was still hammered.
No,
look how slow they were coming in the whoops.
You can't do nothing with the whoops when the night show starts. But when they had time to go out there to fix the track, they spent more time fixing the track in good places, which I was just like,
I just didn't like the optics of a puddle off to the side of the track.
Listen.
Like, was there a frog in there? Was there frogs?
You're just worried about aesthetics.
Were there ducks? Was there a duck in there swimming around? Like, what are we doing?
Could have put one in there.
Yeah.
Would have added to it.
Anyway, when you see the guys go through that sand section, like, up close, it is so unbelievably, there's no flow. Like, everybody's just slamming, and it's a combination of a bunch of things. Yeah. I'm just giving you an idea how wet and deep it was. Phil and JT, who race at this level, I'm sure you can say that they are not riding bike setup type of section at all. And the amount of energy, just like everyone was expending, and it was like clutch, not clutch. Like, no one got through there one time, and you're like, grease that. Like, it was just who messed up the least every single lap through that section. And it looked exhausting. It was just slam, 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 slam.
You know what's funny? If you go back and watch the first couple laps, watch how slow Coop goes around the inside to make sure he can do the double to exit it. Like, it is comically slow. And then he just, like, pops over it and then hauls ass down the downside. And all of that slowness is wiped away plus a lot more. Pretty crazy how slow he goes.
Yeah, and after the race we talked about it, he's like, yeah, I had to give up quite a bit in the sand to get it, my bike set so he could get that double to make it up tenfold on the other side.
He should have went on the right where Chase was going. That was a great line.
It seemed like it worked out, especially late in the race.
Oh, and by the way, Weege, so you are really struggling in 2025 with this technical Weege show stuff. You got no sound only in left sides. You have a camera didn't work. You have me holding it in horizontal. Like,
yeah.
What is going on?
Well, 90% of it is we had zero problems basically for about 9 years. And then Adobe, I thank you for completely revamping your software for 2025. And it's just throwing me for a loop on a weekly basis.
All right.
Essentially, what used to be a hit one button and export has now become like a 4-step process. And at 2:30 in the morning, or when you're in a TV meeting and your computer's off to the left side, you're not really looking at it, you don't get the whole process right.
Okay.
So thank you, Adobe.
We'll hope. Yeah. You know, we're 9 rounds in. We hope the Weege show gets his technical aspects figured out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It sucked.
So do you guys remember, like, early on, I don't think we were hitting the panic button for J. Coop, but it was like, dude, you can't ride whoops. You're not figuring this out. This isn't good. He went backwards at A2 badly. He went backwards at another race. It just wasn't a good start at all. And I don't know. Like, obviously we've gotten to some whoops that aren't, you know, they're more East Coast whoops. They're just bang through the center groove or whatever. But he's gotten, he went 4-5, 4-4, and now 2. Like, J. Coop is back. JT, he's looking great.
Yeah, well, I think the whoops are a big part of that. You know, if you remove any rider's liability and then couple that with not only removing a liability but actually make it an advantage, that's going to have a big shift on the result. Because these whoops, once you committed to jumping, that was the better way. And I watched Roczen, I watched Sexton, I watched Barcia, I watched all the guys that were relevant in the race in the championship make a muckery
also could work, sure.
Yep. They couldn't figure out what they wanted to do. They were trying to blitz, they were trying to jump, they tried to blitz and jump at the same time, and none of it was working. And Coop and Cooper Webb both just said, F all that, I'm gonna jump through them and I'm not gonna stop jumping through them. And they had it dialed. They never made a mistake, they never screwed it up. And they were actually faster than any other pathway because they were committing to it. And I watched Sexton time after time. He would try something different every single time. And I was like, man, just jump the damn whoops already. And I think it was partially because they don't have the experience in jumping them. And a lot of the time for J. Coop, like, we saw what happened today too. He got freight trained because he couldn't figure the whoops out. This particular scenario, it was an actual benefit, and you saw what that meant in the end result. It completely changed the face of the race for him.
The guys at Star after Tampa were so frustrated, and that's what they were telling me. JB may reach out, or he may reach out to JB and work with him at whoops. And after the race in Tampa, they were so frustrated. And then Rich, the team manager, said, go look at his segment times. To me, go look at his segment times outside of the whoops. Like, he was really good. Just go. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, at that point, I have no idea. And yeah, sure enough, like, his segments were great, and the whoops were killing him. And this is in Tampa, and here we are, Phil, and a few weeks later, and the dude's
just like
JT said, like, he's been fast. He's been fast.
I mean, I think obviously Dallas was a standout ride. I think even more than this weekend. This weekend was kind of like, he did work for it to get by Bam and whatever, but his speed that he had in Dallas, I think, was much higher than what he had this weekend. But I was kind of getting nervous with J. Coop because at that point in time, he was sitting behind Barcia for so long that when Savacci went down, I thought when Savatgiat went down, that's when Jay Coop had finally made the move on Bam. And I was worried, wasn't worried, but yeah. if they did a red, you know, red flag,
yeah.
that they were going to go back the lap to whatever it was and they're going to put Bam back in front
back
of Jay
in front,
Coop.
Right.
And
I'm like, they do. They go back to the lap before.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, that would, dude, trying to repass Bam again for the second time after you were just working on him for 12 minutes. Like, dude, that would blow you up. So, but yeah, he worked Bam over and over and over and tried to get him and then finally snatched
him. I thought there was a red flag coming.
I thought so
too. And I even tweeted on RacerX account, red flag, but I swear the guy picked it up or maybe.
He went for the blue flag instead.
And what, pulled the red by accident?
No, he didn't even grab the red one.
Okay, so I swore he had it in his hand, but also right behind him was a guy in a red suit. And I might have thought the suit guy was the flag in his hand, like just looking really quick. Mm-hmm. But I honestly thought they grabbed the red flag, and I'm surprised they didn't. I really did. But
I thought it was coming too.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But Jay Coop, second place, career best, Weej, for Jay Coop.
Yeah. Say, bro, are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Career best, one man, got in a zero. This is a man who showed up on Friday, rode the track, showed podium speed, even though he's retired, 4 years old. He then handled hosting for Race Day Live.
This is unbelievable.
Announced races for the live audience. And also, before the night show, was inside the Monster Yamaha Star Racing rig in Jay Coop's ear, and his advice powered Jay Coop to a career best finish. Ladies and gentlemen, just all in a weekend's work for Justin Brayton, everybody.
So you think...
To Coop for a few minutes, and we're good.
So you think a guy that can't blitz whoops went in and told Jay Coop how to ride through the GNCC section that was the whoops this week, and that's what helped? Because like,
career best for Justin Cooper, and Brayton stopped by to lend us some advice for the night show.
But
you argue these facts.
But the whoops weren't even a factor for Jay Coop. They were garbage. Okay.
Maybe that was Justin Brayton's advice.
It really is becoming the year of JB 2025. He's riding the track on Friday. He's in the booth. He's everywhere. He's Anstey's agent, who had the red plate until this weekend. It's really coming up, JB.
I'm down by the podium with Jay Coop and the crew and everything after the race, and then I see Rich Simmons, and he's like, oh, how was JB yesterday? I'm like, oh, he's good. And he's like, oh, he was in the truck talking to the 32. I'm like, career best? He's like, yep. And I'm like, there you go. There you go. All the weekend's work. Incredible.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Good job, JB and Jay Coop. By the way, I said this a couple weeks ago. I did hear from somebody that Jay Coop's on a bone stock motor. Obviously mapping and exhaust, but all the internals are stock. Phil, do you know that?
There's no way.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard. Can you ask Jay Coop? Can you ask somebody?
There's no way.
I don't know why he would do this. Like, this doesn't make any logical sense.
If they're just, okay. Well, I don't even know how they do this. There's no way he's running stock crank, stock rod.
Why?
There's no way.
Why?
No.
It's Supercross. You're fine.
No, you're not fine.
You're fine.
No.
There's no reason for it.
There's 30 privateers doing that, Phil. I mean, it can get through a Supercross. The bike can make it through.
Choice.
No, but I'm saying they can make it through a Supercross. If Phil is worried about the reliability, like, they can make it through a Supercross.
No, not at that level.
Okay, well, we're going to get to the bottom of this, all right? Okay. Barcia, fourth place, season best for Bam. I talked to him after the race. He told me that once the whoops went away, he could never figure them out. So early on, he said he could blitz, and then once they went away, he could never figure them out. But he was happy. He was happy with his result. I said, hey, are we going to see you more up front? And he's like, yeah, yeah. He goes, Daytona, I jacked with my bike setup. And he goes, so my bike setup was no good. So I'll be back because my bike setup is better. Don't count Daytona because I jacked with it. So I'm like, okay, cool. So Barcia's confident he's going to be better from here on out. Whole shot and fourth place.
He thrives.
Yeah, he was better than where he was beginning of the year, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, good job for Bam and the Gas team and all that. AP fifth. So I was wondering if it was a Daytona thing for AP, but he battled with Bam, fell down, You know what I mean? So, yeah, good job, AP, fifth place, JT.
Yeah, he was good. He was good. It was an eventful day. Got into with Harrison. Yeah, you know, typical band day, but he's definitely riding better.
No, I was talking about AP.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, that also correlates with Barsha.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But this looks like a better AP. Like, I was wondering if it was Daytona-induced, and it maybe not. Like, he may be back, quote-unquote.
No, he looks good. He definitely looks good. I think this was the kind of guy we thought we would get, and we were all, like, wondering where the hell he was.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Hey, I was going to ask you, before we get too far away from Webb, Phil, did you talk to Coop about he and Sabachi getting into it after the heat?
No, actually, I didn't even bring that up, but I saw them, Coop trying to get by him and then panic riffing the shit out of his bike behind him. And then, like, he landed off the finish line, but then didn't even look back at Savachi, but Savachi was pissed and then followed him down, like, the chute. And then I saw him, you know, from the suite.
They were having words.
They were having words down there behind the starting gate.
It seemed like it was Savachi induced, though, right? Joey came up to him.
Yeah. But I think Coop was just fired up, you know, panic driving behind him or whatever, and Savachi was kind of like, the fuck, dude? I didn't even do anything, you know? I think that's kind of what it was.
Malcolm Stewart, I talked to Nathan Ramsey after the race, and, yeah, he just said because at one point Malcolm was moving up. He was going forward, and, you know, he had a good practice. He had good qualifying, all of that stuff. And then Nate Dogg said, yeah, he just – you know, once you get settled into a pace behind somebody, you can't pick it back up. You get pumped up, you get a little tight, and that's it. So I think he was a little bummed at Malcolm's ride for sixth because he thought he, you know, could have been a better night because Malcolm was ripping all day long. Mm-hmm. So, Weege, anything on Malcolm?
Yeah, no, I was, I listened to your interview with Nate Dogg, and you summed it up. Everything was great. The man was good.
Yeah.
But everything else was awesome. Yeah.
I was
expected a little more, kind of like I did in Daytona. I just thought there'd be a little more in the main, but it was the heat races were great at both.
Yeah, I think like I said to Nate, like it's a step right now. He's qualifying on the box or near that. Now he's winning heat races. Obviously, he's got Tampa, which was unreal, but it's almost like a step where you got to figure this out. Maybe a little more consistency. So.
You mean to like take Tampa out and then if you really take that out, it's all positive. It looks like not because it's not Tampa, but if you take Tampa out,
yes,
it actually is all moves in the right.
I think so, right?
Yeah, right? I think so.
Yeah.
Him in free practice, it was like he had a whole day's worth of riding time on the track before anybody else.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit. No, it was unbelievable.
Like, came out ripping,
Ripping.
Yeah.
And he made everyone else like, I mean, obviously they got down toward his lap time, but he was making them look like goons.
Yeah.
It is wild.
Coming out of that sand, the little wheelie 3-3.
Fuck.
That was gnarly. Yeah.
His teammate had scared me off of that. We'll get to that later.
Rocks in seventh. Again, fell in the first turn. I didn't watch the race back. Looked like Anderson went to the side of him. Is that what kind of happened? First turn? Anderson and Roczen?
Anderson just crashed, and then Kenny ran in the back of him.
Oh, okay. All right. So Kenny was basically coming from last and got up to seventh. And, yeah, that's all she wrote, right? What?
And, you know, this is the danger of the 16-point deficit. We all thought, oh, he can get back in this, but you just have no room for error. And Kenny really had – yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just adding to your point.
Yeah.
It's got to be perfect.
Yeah. And the thing is, dude, he had good starts pretty much all year. And if not good starts, he makes up for it with his first lap or two. So it's almost like you're bound to have one race where the start gets screwed up. Just, it's going to happen in 17 races.
Yeah. Yep. No, for sure. Yeah. And so what's the points deficit now? I don't have it in front of me. I can't. But
26.
Yeah. Like, dude, I mean, to be fair to Kenny. Yeah. Like, in his interviews, he's been telling people, and whether he believes it or not, I don't know, but he's been telling people, like, hey, I'm out of this thing, and I'm just going to try the best I can, and you know what I mean? Like, Kenny was really laying the pressure off of him, you know? So, but now, I got breaking news, Kenny. Now I think you are out of this thing, so.
I got an update on Jay Coop.
Okay.
I told him, I said, hey, I'm on a review podcast. I said, how fucking stock is your bike?
Uh-huh.
He goes, I mean, my bike is pretty detuned, but definitely not bone stock.
Okay.
I said, but like a piston, or do you not know? He goes, I think so, but I don't really know exactly.
Okay, all right. Riders, dude. Detuned. All right.
He's funny.
Hey, Dylan. Dylan.
Steve, ever had a call on Moto 60 where a fan's like, you know, why don't the teams just give the riders what they ask for?
Yeah.
And it's like, because this is why they don't, they're not always technicians.
No, no. And
it's not as simple as just like, hey, JQ, give us a list of the parts you want.
Yeah, yeah. What compression
it's
piston
a
you
symbiotic
want?
Symbiotic relationship.
What cam yeah. lobe? What cam lobe do you think we should run, Jay Coop? But no, that's why a lot of these teams will tell the guys, "Don't tell me what to do. Tell me what the bike is doing." You know, don't. What do you think the bike is doing? Do not tell me what you want, because we'll figure it out. You know. Hey, Ferrandis was good all day. I just wrote last week in my column that he's been kind of invisible. He was fifth, I think, fastest. I think he was better, right? For whatever reason.
Yeah, way better. It was frisky.
He was better, and I think he was top five in the main. He got caught by Kenny and maybe Malcolm, but he was better. I mean, I guess eighth is eighth still, right? Eighth is where he's been, but I don't know. I felt like he was better.
He did fade for whatever reason. Yeah, I couldn't believe it was actually eighth at the end.
Yeah.
Hill, but he rode great for a while.
Hill ninth. McElrath was fifth early?
Yeah,
was he fourth or fifth?
Yeah, he's riding really good.
Yeah.
Yep. I have Justin Hill in the heat race. Comes out swinging, but then I don't know what happened. He got...
I don't remember the heat. I'm not sure.
He got freight trained and got...
In the heat.
He was leading.
Yes.
Yeah, like he was leading.
That's
and I'm
right.
Like, and I'm like, this is like Hill's Junior's chance to like show like, yeah, he can win a heat race. And,
yeah.
You know? And he just got ate up, you know? And literally got freight trained by six guys and then that was it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But I mean, still ninth in the main. I mean, he rebounded, but I thought for sure in that heat I was like, oh, he's going to win this.
Mm-hmm. McElrath 10th, like I said, he was fourth or fifth early on. Shane was, so that's pretty good. 10th place, that might be a season best for him. Shane.
He's got a 9th at Tampa, okay. I think, yeah.
Anderson 11th, JT, that's now a couple races for Jason. It's been bad. I think he crashed twice in the main. He crashed in the first turn and then he went down the sand later. Anderson did.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, his race is over in the first turn.
And then from there, you know, what are you going to do, right? He's in a slump right now. He's in a deep slump. Oldenburg 12th. It's kind of where his home is. Benny 13th. What are you laughing at?
Yep.
Yeah.
My whole thing on Race Day Live was about no one sees the beta guys because they finish right in the middle. They're not LCQ guys. They're not podium guys. Mm-hmm. They get between 10th and 14th every week. And then they, what was it? 12 and 13?
Yeah. 12 and 13.
Yeah. And no one, has anyone seen them?
No, they are invisible.
Yeah. Oldenburg's heat was good. He was up there in the heat. Eventually just opening laps or whatever. I don't know. I talk to Oldenburg almost every week just because I see him and like I don't try to go find him every week. He's a good dude, but somehow we ended up doing interviews every week. So I get this Oldenburg scoop any week. Benny usually flips me off and just keeps walking. I told Benny if he wears a Raider jersey on track walk, I will refer to him as the number one rider over there. And he said he will not do that. So, but
I just feel bad because I feel like this is a success story. This is Oldenburg who could have just hired as a 250 only guy. He moves up 450s. And beta, and I feel like this is good. This is really good for both this new brand and him. And you could probably quiz every fan in the stadium and be like, how's Mitch Oldenburg doing? And they'd be like, oh, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But he's doing good.
Yeah, I bet you.
The bike is good. Yeah. Like, everything's good.
Yeah, I bet you if you went around the pits, right, and said, hey, Oldenburg, you know, good, bad, people would be like, who? What? Yeah.
Yeah, but if you draw this 2 years ago and say this is what's going on, I think people would be like, damn, that's impressive.
Yep. JT still doesn't like the clear gas tanks, but we'll work over that. Nichols was bummed after the race, just said he rode like an amateur, said he didn't know what he was doing out there. He said Coop lapped him, and he looked up, and it was still not, it was 9 minutes in. He was like, what the hell? Like, Colt was either 9 minutes left or 9 minutes in, and he was like, that shouldn't happen.
There's not a lot of difference there.
So then I pivoted to talking about McAfee because he didn't really have anything to say about his race. So, but that is cool to get on Pat McAfee for the sport, you know? Yeah.
That was super cool.
Yeah. I mean, and then I guess Deegs did a People magazine thing with his sister and all that. So, like, yeah, big weekend for Feld PR that way. And then the Indianapolis Colts cornerback, Phil, you were hanging out with him?
Mm-hmm. Kenny Moore.
Kenny Moore. Cool. Big weekend for crossover for that. But then I didn't watch the McAfee thing, but today I saw a social clip and he had Colt talking about Robbie Knievel. So, I mean, whatever. I mean, sure, we're on Pat McAfee, but we're talking about Robbie Knievel.
I got a question about that. Maybe Weed or JT, you would know. How does Nichols get the spot on?
Oh, I got the whole scoop.
Pat Mac, like, I don't understand.
I got the whole scoop.
We got, you know.
I got the whole scoop.
Tell us the whole scoop.
Well, does JT or Weed know? No?
Mine is a more simplified version. I'm actually very curious.
Okay.
What you have.
So they didn't get confirmation from McAfee until 8 o'clock on Thursday night for Friday.
Oh, wow.
So they didn't get a, hey, you're in. They knew they wanted to get a bike there. They contacted Lars, and Lars is like, yep, we can do it, but the Lawrence's flight got in too late. So that they couldn't change it or they wouldn't change it or whatever. Then they went to KTM Group, and the KTM Group said, our guys want to ride the track. We're not doing Pat McAfee. We want to ride the press day. So I think there was a lot of, like, sighing from the PR guys about that, but they want to ride the track.
Coop said he would have done it.
Oh, well, Coop was – so then the Lawrences were out. KTM Group was out. Then it was Kenny. Kenny committed and said, yes, he would do it. But then the flight, Kenny's flight got in too late. It was too close. So then Colt's flight worked out, but Colt had a delay. So they lined up Adam Cian Cirillo at the last moment to do it. And so they took Adam to McAfee in case Colt didn't make it. But Colt made it with like 10 minutes to spare, I guess.
Wow.
So that's how it went. And no offense to Colt, but it just kind of went down the rung a little bit till they found somebody. I mean, Colt's a great guest because he does know sports. And he's aware of Pat McAfee. Like, Do you think AP or either Lawrence would have known anything about Pat McAfee? Probably not. But so Nichols knew football, knew, you know.
Yeah.
So that's how it kind of worked.
Ball guy.
Yeah. So that's how it kind of went down. Weege, is that Matt, what you heard?
I got one sentence. He was the only guy available. So does that match?
Sure. Yeah.
I think it does.
Yeah. I mean, honestly,
but I would say if you were to pick, they don't care about results, right? Like, okay, it would be great to have a superstar like Jet Lawrence or Chase Sexton or whatever. But in general, I was talking to Sean. I'm like, look, McAfee, an NFL guy in the show. They're not like, if a player's on a team in the NFL, he's a legit guest. Colt Nichols is a top supercross rider. And whether he's the ninth best or 19th best or best.
Yeah.
I don't think a show like that, you'd rather just have someone that's cool and has a personality. And honestly, for that, Nichols is great. So I don't even think it was
– no.
I think it was fine this way. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, Colt's well-spoken. He's a 250 champion, and, yeah, he's one of the top riders. So, you know, all that.
We're picking hair. Like, McAfee has the 80th best NFL player on the show. No one's like, why is this guy on here?
Yeah. And, again, they were talking about Robbie Knievel at one point, so they didn't need anybody. You know, they just need somebody to be funny about that, right? So – that's cool for the sport for sure. You know, that McAfee was on it. Chiz 15th, two laps down. He wasn't happy with his race at all. Chiz is the one who told me it was the best Indy of the last few years, ruts wise and all that, even though it looked like a disaster. Apparently other years were more of a disaster. So, and Phil, you raced it. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Terrible. Chiz rode good in his heat race.
He did ride good in his heat race, but he had to go to the LCQ still.
Or not he race. I mean, LCQ.
Yeah, in the LCQ, right. He came from way back,
yep. You know?
Yep.
You know what's crazy about the...
Go ahead.
Steve, you were there for these races. Though you might have been... You were probably too young, but this was every weekend. Like, the rut and the brutal track and, like, it was worse every weekend, honestly. Like, Minneapolis, Pontiac, Indy, I mean... all these tracks were worse than anything we see now every single time, every single weekend. And I'm not saying that was a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy now, like, where, you know, the tracks are so much better now and guys are going so much faster. The race, go back and watch a race from, I don't know, 97 or something, 96 at Indy or something. Look how slow they're going because of how just hammered the track is in the mains. I was talking to Jacob about it on the podium. I'm like, I know the track's brutal and you guys are going way faster and your bikes are so much more capable. But man, this, like, we wouldn't even said a word about the track. Like, it would not have even been a talking point.
A couple
of generations ago.
No, you're right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, like you said, we've talked about it, JT. Jeremy McGrath would just stop jumping triples.
Yep.
Like I'm just double singling.
Yep, press day.
Yep.
Press day 96 Atlanta, he rolled all three. He had to roll all three. And he was the best guy in the world.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you're right. Mitchell Harrison, Kevin Moranz, Jerry, Freddie Norn. I had him in fantasy, and I got the Freddie experience. I don't understand. He was up in the top nine in the heat and just got dropped. Like, I mean, no offense to Lesher. Lesher was catching him on a two-stroke. And I'm like, what is going on here? And he lost the top nine in the heat. Like, gone. And I'm like, but he was seventh. So that's how, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm screwed. Freddie's off his game. Then the LCQ comes, and he hole shots, and he wins that. In the process of watching him, and you guys all know this, and our listeners probably know this, he puts together three sections that are great and then completely falls apart for a rhythm lane and cases everything and almost goes over the bars and clips, rolls the turn slow because he's
getting his marbles back,
then puts a lane together, but then fucks up the next lane. Like, it's... it's a lot.
Are you unfamiliar with Freddie's work?
No, I'm not. And I'm just, but I had him in fantasy. So I watched it and I was stressing. And yep, that's just how he lives, right, Phil? I mean, this is just what he lives.
Like I said, there's some days, I've said it before and I'll say it again, Freddie could beat James Stewart on a practice day. And then he'll show up the next day and it's like he's riding blindfolded. It's like, it's, dude, what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, Freddie is so beyond capable of being six every weekend in a heat race.
Yeah.
Beyond capable of that. Yeah. I just don't know what happens.
Yeah, it was a hell of a ride this weekend from seventh in the heat to Lesher catching you to winning the LCQ.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Jeremy Hand, 20th. A-Rod, 21st. And Savachi crashed out. Looks like he got a bruised lung, he said, or something on social.
Punctured lung.
I don't know if he got punctured lung on social. So, bummer for Joey. Yeah.
I thought it was a lot worse. And from my angle looking at it, I thought it was a lot worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't think he was going to get up and walk.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like, I was mind blown.
Yeah, for sure. All right. That's 450 class from Indy. 15 points. Everybody like Coop to hold on to this thing on this call? We all like the 2-time champion who's super consistent and really never makes mistakes to hold on to 15 points. What do we got? 8 rounds to go? Yeah, 8 rounds left, right? This is round 9.
I mean, obviously the odds are good. I will say, I'll let you go here to sec, JT. I will say that it's not over, as in, like, is there no shot to win? No. 15 points? Is Sexton capable of a win streak? Could it be 3 rounds to go? And we're like, wait a minute, this is more interesting than we thought. But I'm certainly saying the favorite should be what?
I would say, if everything, like, goes normal, I don't think anything changed. I just worry more of, like, what Phil said early on, like, one incident, you know, a Nashville 23, anything, like, in a moment can change really quickly.
Achilles,
know,
like, an Achilles tear.
I mean, that's big, but even,
run over,
but, like, again, Nashville with his head getting, like, dude, like, what?
Yeah.
How does that even happen?
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. It's like, you think, you know, control's an illusion. You think you have it, but you really don't. And just split second.
He crashed 3 times this weekend, which is very rare, but he did crash 3 times.
And he knows he's not fucking stupid.
Right.
You know, like, he could have a 25-point lead. It don't mean shit.
Yeah.
You know? So, makes it nice, but it's no guarantee.
and we were talking about Sexton and Daytona on the live show, and Weege really broke it down nicely. Once again, JT and I are saying the same thing. So we were debating this after Daytona, and we were saying the same thing. That crash did catch up to him, by all accounts, from people, you know, from what Chase told me, from what people told me.
I think that the difference was I meant mentally, and I thought you meant physically. Like, I thought you meant, like, his back and his stuff was hurting. I think he hit his head and was affecting him late.
But that's physically. That's physically.
Well, I didn't think that's what you meant.
Oh, no, I meant everything. Yeah, the whole thing, you know, all of it.
But, well, I don't mean the whole thing. I mean one thing.
But we're basically saying the same thing. yeah, it's hard to – I said this on Moto 60 Weege with you on Thursday. Like, and again, Achilles tears happen and things happen, Nashville, all of that. I get it because that always makes it so hard to talk about our sport because it is so dangerous. But generally speaking, how does Coop end up off the podium even with a 15th-place start going forward from here? You know, like, God damn, he's so good. It's such a long race.
No.
He makes these lines up. He figures it out. You know? So I just don't see how, you know, the margin of error for Chase is so small right now.
Is somebody tap dancing?
We just doing it.
Oh, sorry. I'm just mixing up a drink here. Sorry. I didn't get
that. Oh, wow. Mixing up a drink?
Yeah. Not anything fun. We are on high emergency vitamins drink. Alert in this house. Sorry. Not a fun one. Not a fun drink.
Mixing up a drink. Yeah. Getting a little...
We're mixing up emergency if you guys want any.
Look at getting a screwdriver going in the morning, in the afternoon.
This will shock you guys, but I don't do mixed drinks because I don't know how to make them. It's too complicated.
Picture him with like the shaker, and he's like shaking it next to his head. You know, like,
yeah.
Bro. At the bar. No chance. No chance.
Thank you.
I'm just saying that a 15-point lead, let's say the lead gets down to, like, is Sexton capable of winning three races in a row?
Yes.
Suddenly the point lead is 10 or less than 10, and you're like, oh, wait, there's five races to go, and there's only 10 points. That's still in play. It's still possible.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Eight races is a lot.
It reminds me a lot of Stu championship days where you're like, he can still do it, but, man, his margin of error is small, and then Stu threw it away the next week. And you're just like, oh, well, there we go. So.
Right. And my fear the whole time has been when Sexton crashes this much, like one of these times you're just not getting third or fifth or something.
Yeah.
When this keeps happening.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Look at Cooper Webb since he got on Fly Racing. He's got a 15-point lead, all due to the folks at Fly Racing. And thanks to the folks at Fly Racing. Use the code PULPMX when you check out, and you'll get a discount on that. And St. Jude gear this weekend, JT, was pretty sweet. I would like my next set of gear to be built with that logo, if we can.
I bet you would.
Okay. All right.
No, we cannot.
I did like that logo. Yeah. Thanks to folks at Fly Racing. Renthal Max, as I told you about off the top. Motorsport.com. Phil's old sponsor. They were there for him for a number of years. Go through the banner on PulpMX.com to help us out. They got a sweepstakes going on right now. Weekly prizes. It doesn't cost anything to enter. The grand prize is a Stark Varg. And every week they're giving away tons of stuff. Phil, they're actually doing some FXR, I think, this week. The folks at Motorsport.com. So
nice.
Thanks to the guys at Motorsport.com, OEM and aftermarket parts. And go through the banner to help us out. Appreciate that. And then Weege, also on X Maps.
On X Maps, maybe you're in upstate New York, like Phil, and you're snowmobiling or something in the winter, you can use it as a snowmobile trail in New York or mountain bike trails in Vegas, which maybe you guys are doing now, or dirt bike trails or dual sport or adventure riding or side-by-side like Steve will be doing soon. So go to onxmaps.com or onxoffroad, and you might surprise yourself to find out how many trails there are that you can use because it covers public and private.
All right. Yeah, check it out. Thank you to those guys for coming on board. All right. Showdown. Yeah, Hammaker, we touched on it. JT brought it in. And Weege, go ahead. Seth Hammaker wins. Now, did you know it was 4 years? It did not seem 4 years to me. If you had said, when was the last time Seth Hammaker won? I might have said 2 years. 2 years ago, but 4 years ago he won his first and only race.
The only reason I knew it was 21 is because 21 was like a weird year where I think there were like six or seven first-time 250 winners.
Mm-hmm.
It was some combo of like a bunch of guys moved up, and it took like almost everybody that had won a 250 race out of the class. And then suddenly it was like a flood of new guys. And I just remember he was one of those.
Yeah, I think Hunter won his that same year, 21.
Did he? No?
Oh, it's insane. It was either six or seven first-time winners.
Yeah.
So did I see that we have eight winners in nine races on the 250 side and only Deeks has two? Did I see that stat? Broadcast guys?
I think there's 14 winners total this year. Like that?
Including the triple crowns?
No, because they don't count those, Steve.
Oh, you mean on both classes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Classes.
Yeah, no. In the 250s, I think we have eight winners in nine rounds. Only Deeks has won twice, and I think if I do the math, that seems about right. So that
I think you're right.
Right. So this is pretty cool.
Awesome.
Pretty cool to see. And I guess if you want to win any race, it's the showdown. He was really good. Seth was really good. Obviously, he's working with the Lawrences. They've been trying to help him, like JT mentioned earlier. And, man, he made that one mistake in the rhythm, case the three. And other than that, though, yeah, it was really good. Vial rode well, too. You knew Vial would be a factor. Technical stuff, just got to slow down to go fast. You figure he would be pretty good in it. And so those guys – yep, go ahead.
We got to make sure we I think that the Lawrences get all the credit because that's the headline, but he's actually on Michael Burns' program.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, he was talking to me a little bit about Dazzy with riding technique.
Yeah. I think that gets glazed over a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really fair to Burner. That's all. I just wanted to throw it in there.
Weege, Vial second, Deegan third. Deegs was doing that quad. That was pretty good. Also went into the net. At one point, then said he broke something in his bike.
We'll get to the net and Deegan in a second, but Vial,
okay.
Wow. Much like how Cooper wrote like this exact script that he has like every season somehow goes to perfectly when he wins titles.
Mm-hmm.
You can just draw it and the blueprint works every time. We don't have a lot of sample size with Vial, but this is the exact blueprint of last year. At any point, has anyone said Vial, oh, he's the best guy?
No.
He is a point. And I think you could say that last year, too. Was he the best guy? At any point where you're leaving the race and saying, yeah, Vial's just got all these dudes handled. But he was the point leader and the champ. And who knows? Maybe he will be again. I love that guys can do it in different ways.
Yeah, he's got the red plate, right? So
he's got the point lead.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
By one point, I think. Mm-hmm. By one point. What'd you make of Vial and Deegan, Phil?
Deegs is obviously, I think, the fastest guy, but Vial, that was the best he's ridden all year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought he looked, I mean, Daytona, he looked okay, but for the way the track was and the mistakes that happened, I thought he did really, really, really good. So he's getting better every weekend.
Yeah, I think, and I feel like at some point with that quad JT, Deegs is just, okay, I'll take third, you know, like I got it.
Yeah, I mean, couple things on Vial. This was almost exactly the same as last year. Kind of bad opener. Got a little better at round two. Then he went 1-1-2 over the next three rounds in 2024, starting at Daytona. So we're kind of, it's not quite as good as that. You know, 2-so-so like 5-4 and then 2-2. So he's really taken a step after Daytona. Whatever's happening, you know, like East Coast pull on. Track or whatever it is, like we said, this is the same blueprint maybe consistency wins. Maybe consistency is the way if you're up against a bunch of riders that struggle with consistency. So
yeah,
we shall see. And then on Deegan, man, he was so good all day. But stop me if you've heard this before. His starts are a problem.
Mm-hmm.
His inconsistency on starts are a problem. And it doesn't mean he can't get a good start. Look at his heat race start. It was picture perfect. But when he doesn't get the start, he can overcome it. He did a great job of that in Arlington. But this weekend, to me, there's no reason why he shouldn't have been in the fight to win that race when you look at his day overall, other than on the first lap, he was, I don't know, 8 seconds or more behind Hamaker. You know, and he had to fight through traffic past that. It is becoming a thing where he's too up and down on the starts. And I don't think it's going to matter in the championship, right? The setup is really good for him in this championship. Mm-hmm. He's very likely to become champion in the West, and good for him. But big picture, you know, you think about where his career's got to go, like the starts have to be better, in my opinion, like long term.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what he could have broken his bike, but
I don't. I have no idea. Yeah, I'm not a mechanic.
Transmission?
I don't think he. No, I don't know if he broke anything in his bike.
Yeah.
I think maybe he broke his skid plate. And it was making a noise, so it sounded like. I don't.
Because if you break your transmission, you're not racing.
Yeah,
the rest of the lap.
Yeah,
so,
I don't know. It seems like something broke.
Yeah.
Externally.
Yeah.
That was making a noise. That would make him think or something.
Yeah.
Like, hey, something's
right.
Fucked up. Which
yeah.
I totally get that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I'm with you. I felt that was weird. All right.
Can we talk about the net here. Can we talk about?
Oh yeah.
I believe there's just some irony or symbolism over
cosmic.
Your nets nearly catch Deegs, but is Deegs the first rider to ever figure out, nope, I can go under the Mathis net?
Good point, I guess.
From it.
I feel like I've seen that before, but maybe not. Yeah, maybe not.
It is impressive.
Yeah.
The Mathis net is going to save Deeg, and Deegan's going to have to. Oh, nope.
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 If it had
no credit, Steve.
He would have just run into it.
I'm going to slip right through this thing. Not.
Yep. I'm like, oh, this will be a conversation. No, it will not be.
No, I am not going to get.
Out.
I am not going to get embraced by the warm bosom of Steve's net. Not going to happen. No.
Nope.
What was more impressive about Deegs hitting the net? Him not getting wrapped up in the net, or getting a lever, or a bar stuck in it, or him being able to keep his visor on?
Yeah.
Through that whole fiasco.
Good point on a visor. A-Star helmet. Yeah.
How does he clothesline himself? How does the visor stay on there?
Yeah, yeah.
But they just tip over. They don't even hit their head. The visor fucking blows off.
Blows off. Yeah. It's a great point.
Yeah.
Great point.
Meanwhile, I see Mosman out there fucking bullet head.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. RJ Hampton.
Deegs did make a mistake.
What?
Deegs.
On the quad?
In a supercross race.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
He did do that.
Did you guys see anybody?
That's been your point all year.
Yeah, no, I know. JT doesn't want to hear about it, but.
Oh, okay.
Did you guys see anybody other than Chase or Deegs do that jump?
Yeah.
Oh.
Dax did it.
Dax did it?
Mm-hmm.
What's the problem with everybody then?
Dude, because they go on, off. That off was gnarly.
I know, but if Dax and Deegs, why can't other people do it?
I think they were getting the best track. To do it.
Okay. Chase did it a few times.
Yeah, Chase did it a few times, but yeah. I mean, Deegs was doing almost every lap.
Yeah.
Even after he bobbled, he still was doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
It was really tough to get off, like, they step off the first one. Like, you had to get down in the transition, like, perfectly to get that pop. And I don't think it was, like, a brutally hard jump. I think my real opinion, like, where I think most guys came down on it, Coop, whoever, best guys, are just like, you know what? The track's going to be garbage when it really matters. So why? I'm not even going to screw with this thing. Like, it's not going to be in a condition where I'm going to be able to do this lap in and lap out in the main event. So why?
RJ Hampshire, Phil. You want to talk about RJ? He was 16th after the first lap.
I told you, after his crash, I texted you, Weege, and JB, RJ has the biggest balls of anyone in the paddock. That wheelie into the 3-3 when he went down, somehow he managed to hit it with so much speed, he went long on the first three. And when he went long, he landed in the ruts kind of sideways, and when he took off for the next three, he was pointing toward the finish line. No, like, to the finish line. And I don't even know how he survived this fucking crash, dude.
Yeah.
And he just stayed connected with the bike, and he's pointing to the finish line, and he just landed completely sideways and just fucking blew off his bike.
Went off his bike, yeah.
And got up like there's nothing wrong and just kept trucking. I'm like, dude, I'm done for the day. Back in it, dude.
A lot of moments, yeah.
Even in the
we watched you qualifying, JT. You and I were on race day live watching Cicerillo and Brayden, and we were just like, we were all like, if the fans were watching us, they'd be like, is there something wrong with these guys? Are they having like seizures?
Yeah.
Like, we were just we're like, oh.
But even for his heat race, he was willing to die for that heat race to get Max. It's just like, dude, just you're going to the gate fourth, third gate pick.
You know, most people, like, they they watch their heroes, and you always hear, like, I'm living vicariously through you. Like, RJ is the guy you don't want to live vicariously through because it's way too scary.
It's like a voodoo doll?
Well, it's just, yeah, I don't have, like, I feel like it should come on some sort of, like, a warning label. You know, like, if you have heart problems or any sort of thing, like, do not watch. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. It was. I mean, look, for where he was, that fourth, he'll take it. You know, he made it. He made up points on Max, and yeah, yeah. RJ, always exciting. Davies was good again. Davies fell in the sand. Came back
he
to fifth
a few times.
Oh, did he? Saturday. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So good ride for Cole Davies for sure,
dude. Can we talk about his whoops? Did anyone see him in the whoops?
Killing him.
At any point
oh,
that made it.
Oh, in qualifying,
no,
yes.
No, dude, I don't care about qualifying.
No, in the main, like the last about, half of the main,
I don't think I noticed
going,
it. Yeah.
Crushing him.
Yeah.
Bro.
How does a kid like that?
He started blitzing with like 5 minutes to go.
He was blitzing him for 15 plus one, Weege. 15 plus one. He blitzed those things every time.
Oh, he's
time,
doing it the whole time. I only noticed when he finally passed 10 more guys, and all of a sudden I'm like, what? He's blowing by these dudes.
It was...
He did it the whole main.
The whole main, and I have no idea. He didn't have one moment.
It was amazing.
It is simply amazing. And he would come off that wall, and it was just like he was fucking shot out of a cannon,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Honestly, I never noticed. I feel bad now. I need to go watch the main.
Everyone was going 10 miles an hour faster at the end of the whoops. Yeah. Somehow, this kid was going 15 miles an hour faster at the end of them.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like,
but he made the points leader on the East Coast look silly. There.
And he's good in the whoops.
Max, yeah.
Yeah, Max.
I mean, that's his strength, right? Like, that's his strong point. Mm-hmm. And he just was like, see ya.
I'm honestly, that was the highlight of the whole night, how that kid was able to do that on the right side.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, where was he going, right? On the right,
right side.
Yeah.
I mean, on the edge of the tough blocks. Yeah. And, like, dude, that's dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just to get swapped, but he didn't have one moment.
That's Chris Brown.
And I'm, yeah, no shit, huh? And I'm like, God dang it, dude.
Well, he rode well. Yeah, he rode really well to get fifth, for sure. Joe was up front. I think Joe was third at one point. Six for Joe, seventh for Anstey. That was, yeah, tough. There's a gentleman who's a Max Anstey fan up in the press box. really cheering for Max. And he made a comment that he thought all day long that we, quote unquote, were in points management mode. And I'm like, it's a little early for that.
It's way too early.
This gentleman agreed. Yeah.
He didn't look like himself all day. Like, he looked like he had a rough day all the way around.
Yeah.
Just every time I watched him, it looked like he had moments and wasn't comfortable. So I don't know. I think he would just like, honestly.
It was last year, though, still kind of the same thing. Come out swinging. And then it kind of slowly teetered off. No? I mean, obviously he had his bike blow up or whatever, but like before that, it was still kind of going off the rails a little bit.
But he wasn't also this good last year to start. Like, he had the red plate, sure, but just because of Detroit was a disaster for everybody. But he wasn't like you could make a case the first two rounds, he was the fastest guy, you know, on this coast. Like, without a doubt, I don't feel like last year he was ever the fastest guy, just had the red plate. But you're right. No, I mean, I thought Daytona was still good considering he was down in the second turn. All the way back to fifth or sixth or whatever. I thought that was really good. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you're right about this weekend, JT. Just never really had it, right, the whole time.
Yeah, every time I kind of focused in on him, he just looked wildly uncomfortable.
Julien Bomer, eighth. He was up there too, but I guess he hadn't ridden since hurting his shoulder. So this was his first ride since then. So eighth isn't too bad. Still a bright future and all that. But, yeah, I think he's kind of out of this
thing
now.
In those conditions, good for him.
Yep. Marchbanks ninth. Mitch wasn't happy after the race. I talked to Mitch, and he said Marchbanks wasn't happy either. So ninth for Marchbanks. Voland, I had in fantasy. He came from like 15th to 10th. Max did. So he rode well in the heat too to get into qualifying position. And Bennick, I don't have nothing on Bennick. I got nothing. Was he up there? I don't remember even seeing him in the mix. I know Mosman was up there and then dropped back. Mosman crashed.
I think Dax had a bad start, and I would assume he crashed too. But
right. Speaking of crashing, Forkner did get 12th. He was near the back. He had to go to another LCQ. He crashed three or four times in practice and qualifying. It's not good over there. 12th is better on paper on a, in a showdown than I thought he would get.
But he was P2 both practices.
The
both time practices.
I don't think he was P2.
In East Coast, he was. Good. I'm almost positive.
Hold on.
I think he qualified P2 in both of them. Like he had a...
No, I think you're right. Definitely the first one.
I know the first one, and I want to say maybe the second one too. Or he was second for a while.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue it.
He was fourth.
That's right.
Fourth in the second one.
Okay, and then he was second in the first one.
And then he was second in the first one, yes.
Which that was a
That's
huge...
still better, yep.
Better?
Yep.
He was not even close.
Yeah, but he's better.
Last couple rounds, you know, but I...
He crashed for sure, yeah, a bunch. Crashing the sand, crashing the whoops. Yeah. But, I mean, 12th is still... He was way back, so he came from almost last to get 12th. Cullen Park, Nate Thrasher.
That LCQ was
scary.
That could have been the end right there.
Yeah.
I mean,
Towers, him, Park, and.
Well, didn't Hand just straight up. No, Henry Miller?
Henry Miller. Henry missed it.
Sorry, Hand's in 450.
Henry got fifth, but.
But Miller straight up caught him and passed him.
And.
Ready to leave him.
Sort of dropped him, yeah. Yep.
And then Austin put it together, so good clutch in the last two laps. He really put it together, but. I'm like, oh, this is not a good moment.
No.
His hand is just straight up catching him, passing him.
Miller, you said hand again. Miller.
Sorry, I keep... God, Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a empty class.
Phil Mosman wouldn't really get out of the way.
Dude.
You were not happy.
I was not happy with Mosman. Am I the only one that saw that?
I didn't notice it, to be honest. I wasn't looking, or I don't know.
He was racing Seth. Racing him, blue flags,
I didn't see it.
Smashing him in the fucking face, and he's just out there in front of Seth, just shaking his head off the jumps. It's like obviously something's wrong. You're concussed, dude. You don't know where you are, and you're blocking the fucking leader, dude. Move. Yeah, I was not happy with Mosman, and Seth was just panic revving it behind him.
Yeah, yeah.
You could hear him screaming at him.
Yeah. Mosman 15.
I don't know if this is breaking news, but I don't think Mosman like views situations the same as most people. Like there's just a different viewpoint there. So this checks out.
Lux Turner got through the LCQ, rode well. Shock was up in fifth or sixth and crashed along with Mumford. They were both up there and crashed their way back at one point. Yoder did make it through the LCQ, but how about the Reynolds move? He was not happy.
Not cool. Yeah. That was way over.
Yeah. Line. I was up there with 7-deuce-deuce in the press box. He goes, what do you think of that pass? I go, well, if you can't make it, if you get knocked down, it wasn't there. Mm-hmm. If you can't make a pass without cleaning yourself out.
But they were far enough ahead of 11 to clean each other out and still get up, and one still qualified in.
Yes.
So it was worth it.
I don't think
I'm not defending him.
Yeah.
It was a fucking hit, and I love Jet's a good kid, but I would have killed him. But it worked, and he just
Who was it that drag raced him to the like? Who was right there? I forget the privateer guy that was.
Oh, who? I don't know who it was.
Yeah.
Linville, maybe? No, I don't know who it was.
No. Linville wasn't there. He hurt his finger.
That's right.
And where was Enzo? He raced for Bar X. Yeah. We talked about him on my fantasy
pod. Where was Bar X?
They were there.
Yeah, I know.
Schwartz was there.
Not riding.
No, Schwartz rode.
Wait, he did?
Yeah. He put in laps.
Just practice, not heat race.
I don't know. No heat race?
No, there was no Dylan.
Schwartz was out there.
He was?
Yeah, Schwartz was in the heat for sure. Definitely.
17th in the heat.
Wow, I had no idea Dylan was out there.
Yeah. 17th.
Is Derek Kelly on Bar X?
No. He's a hot
Schwartz
sauce.
Got 13th in the LCQ. Schwartz did.
I had no idea. Wow.
And, I mean, Enzo?
I mean, I can't really say much, but there was a practice crash.
Okay. Tell us that.
Yeah,
sure.
Last Saturday that, you know.
Is he still on the team?
Was a bike issue.
Okay.
You know, they were testing some swing arms and stuff. Something happened and derailed a chain and a rhythm.
Okay.
Kind of put him out for a little bit.
Okay.
So,
all right. Yeah.
He just didn't.
I think I may have picked Enzo on my fantasy team.
I was talking him up on the pod for sure because he was a 7 handicap, and I'm like, oh, Enzo's in the main. And
yeah, and he's having had a good weeks, and he was feeling good, and just bike issue.
Towers 20th. Jaimes crashed out late. He was about 7th or 8th, I think, and clipped the tough block on the bridge and went down pretty hard. So DNF.
He's another kid that has low key.
Yeah, definitely picked him.
He has really good whoop speed.
Yeah,
Towers.
Did he not race at all?
Who?
Enzo.
No. He wasn't even there.
Did you have him on your team, Steve?
At one point, before I realized he wasn't there, yeah, he was on my team.
How late was this? Because I did my team at like...
Oh. No, 30. He was off by then.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just swore, because I didn't do my team bill super late, and I'm like, oh, Steve picked him up to okay today. So definitely wasn't there.
No, I don't think so.
That's sweet.
Yeah. And Jet Reynolds DNF'd and Jaimes DNF'd, and that's the showdown for the so Vial's got the red play. Deegan extended his lead.
Is Jaimes okay, JT, or what?
Yeah, he said he's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's pretty beat up, but he's all right.
Yeah. They got a week off, these guys. They're fine.
Like Malcolm. I got to ride Monday.
Yeah.
Ride Monday.
Yeah. Anything else 250-wise? Weege?
I just want to clarify. I was saying how Vial has a blueprint like Webb. I don't mean it's the same blueprint. I literally just spent the beginning of the show saying Webb's faster than people are giving him credit for. I just mean they both have a different, but they have an exact way they do it. Each year, that's all. Not the same. But the fact that they both have their way, I think, is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. The East Coast.
There
like...
are nights where we do say Webb is the best guy. And that's what I'm saying. We haven't said that about Vial, but Coop, he was the best guy. Maybe.
I don't want to shit on Vial here. But I still wouldn't pick him for this championship right now. I don't know. Maybe I need to come around on Vial a little bit more.
It makes sense to say that, except that it already worked once. So
I
would have said the same thing last year, and it worked.
After the first two rounds, I would agree. I don't see that. But after Daytona and this weekend, it's kind of...
He's 11 up on Hammaker and 12 up on RJ, and then, of course, 1 ahead of Max. And we got 5 rounds to go, 2 more showdowns. But we got weather coming in. If there's weather, Vial is going to be really good, right? We all agree on that. Like if we get rain at one of these open air things, Vial will be good.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't like dominant in the mud or anything.
I think
what the rain does though is it neutralizes the whoops at least, which at least swings it to he doesn't have a problem. You know,
I would choose Max over Tom in the mud, honestly.
But don't you think one of Vial's big advantages last year is that we just had these mushy jumper whoops at every Eastern race?
Yeah. I'm just saying if it's muddy, I have more evidence to point to Max being great in the mud versus Tom.
Who would you pick for the title, Phil, right now, East?
RJ.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll be exciting.
Yeah, I'm still picking RJ, too.
Are you really?
I've seen the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah.
12 back. Okay.
Oh, that's manageable.
All right. Sounds good. Fly Racing Racer X podcast. This is an indie review. Fun live show on Friday night. You posted on social about it at Irvine Theater, and you said you never know who's going to be there or what's going to happen, which is true to a point. But then 5 minutes into the show, Jeff Stanton walks in. And just walks on stage. And I mean, he's 6-time, so all of us are like, well, yeah, you're fucking Jeff Stanton. You know?
It's great.
Yeah.
We got Jeff Stanton's take on the world, the riders. He just wanted to do it.
Yeah.
We didn't even ask. He just showed up and wanted to do it.
Yeah, he found the theater. He brought the president of Triumph with him. Phil, that was your chance to get a ride right there.
Yeah, you had me on too late, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And Rod LePuzniak.
Lepuzniak,
yeah, mm-hmm. good dude, was there. Mm-hmm. It was a really fun live show. It was really, really good. And then Lewis didn't come out. Lewis, we had a plan. Hey, you're on after Brayton. And then I introduced him, and Lewis was nowhere to be found. And then walked out 10 minutes later like Mr. Bean. So, he was fun. Yeah, and he had a proposal. A girl in the audience said that she would take him on a date.
So I think it was more than that.
Well, it was more than that. I don't know. You know, I don't know how much we want to get into that, but yep. So yeah, and then the great Justin Brayton, of course, and Phil. We talked about your $10,000 for Paris.
Mm-hmm. You made some valid points.
Not to JT, you didn't. The man who went to Greece for $500. You didn't make valid points at all. So yeah, thank you. Thanks everybody for coming out for that show. It was really fun. It was a good time at the Irvine Theater. And then yeah, race day live for me. JT wore the flannel. Sales should be flying flying off the off the shelf with that flannel. So
absolutely killing it.
Yep. No, it's fantastic to do race day live with my friends Justin Brayton and Adam Cincirillo. And actually, it really helped the LCQ thing too. So people who maybe don't listen to the Pulp Show, LCQ raffle going on right now, pulpmx.com to buy tickets. I did announce Billy Linovich is going to have one wild card spot because he can whip it. He's a bad dude, and he made a main. And then, Phil, do you want the other spot? We're lots of debate about this. Like, do we put you in? There's people saying you can come in, but you got to ride a 125.
Who said I got to ride a 125?
Fans.
Oh, fuck, I'm out. Yeah, 125 at altitude.
Yeah, at Denver.
Yeah, okay. No. JT, would you do that?
Race to 125 at altitude?
No. Yeah, against 450s.
What about what if there was a bunch of money on the line?
I'm going to get last place.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I guess...
So Greece for $250 is fine.
Yeah, if you're going to offer me a couple grand for free, sure.
Yeah.
But, willingly, am I, you know, am I going to show up on a 125? No, I would keep wearing you down because Phil owns Steve's soul. I would just keep wearing Steve down until he let me do what I wanted.
Well, the Privateer Group chap is on fire with this mention of you possibly getting a spot. So they are not happy.
I'm not going to bash on them at the moment.
Okay, all right.
I'll wait to bring the heat when
okay,
we get closer.
Okay, when we get closer to it, okay. So, yeah, good time, Indianapolis. And I'm really looking forward to this weekend off, by the way, in case you guys are wondering. I didn't go to Detroit, so I've missed one round, unlike you two on the phone here. But I'm looking forward to the week off, in case you were wondering. Yes.
How's that second weekend off going to be for you?
Yeah, it's going to be great also. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going
so we'll see you. When are we going to see you? Seattle?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to Birmingham. Yeah. Okay. Well, Weege, when are you? All right, what's yours?
I say Birmingham's not on my list.
Oh, there we go. Weege and I will make our return to the series in Seattle.
Well, I will hold down the fort. Not only that, I'll go to MXGP this weekend and.
Oh, my God.
You
from Spain.
Are you serious? You're going to MXGP this weekend?
Yeah, I leave Wednesday.
Dude, you got to get some psychological help. Like, you got to sit on a couch with somebody, a professional.
I'm sitting on a couch right now.
Okay, well, there needs to be another person across from me with a notepad. Like, oh, my God. I mean, look, it is a big deal. You guys have DeCarly.
Some of us just want it.
You guys have DeCarly. I get it. It's a big deal for fly racing. Like, yeah, you know, you're on the podium last weekend at the opener. So I get that, but Jesus, dude.
Oh, you want to go do MXGP for $5,000?
$5,000, I would go to Spain if someone paid me $5,000.
Yeah, to talk, not race.
I'm just saying, we just had 9 weeks in a row, and JT's going to Spain.
Jesus.
All right. Well, good luck, JT. Have fun with that. Jeez. Okay. Anything else, boys?
I'm just watching. Oh, go ahead, JT. Yep.
I was going to say, Weege, if you were single and you went to these races, and then your employer was like, hey, we will pay for all expenses for you to go to MXGP and you get to be in the booth, you would not do it?
100%. And if it's possible to get more than that, yeah, I would love it. I would be all about it.
Thank you.
Yep. For sure.
Listen, Weege, you're already putting your children's lives in danger with all your pushing of these sports. So
that's the caveat that JT carved out. If I were single.
Well, you might be single soon. You might be single soon with the things that you've done. So,
yes, I should have just went to Daytona. I think.
Yep. See, not going to Daytona really did you in, didn't it?
Yep. Yep. What I was going to say is, I was watching the GNCC from Talladega live while we were doing this pod.
Oh,
and Stu Baylor, shout out to you. And it is absolutely hellacious conditions. Mm-hmm. I know you're deep in negotiations, Phil, with FXR, but I would love to see you race a GNCC one of these. I mean, just straight up.
Terrific.
3 straight hours in mud. Like, it is hellacious. I would love to see Phil do one of those.
I would go do one, but one, I'm not prepping a bike, and two, I'm not fixing the bike after when I'm done with it.
Okay.
Just go there. Is it just
raining?
So the riding, you're fine with the riding part.
Yeah.
In a mud race.
Dude, to go ride a GNCC, what do I care? I just got to go ride it. There's no pressure. I mean, unless Marv and RV want to line up again.
No,
I mean, if Marv and RV want to line up again and get their teeth kicked in, then yeah, there's a little bit of pressure. But for the most part, no.
You were stalking RV, Marv. Is it just Alabama?
Not the response I expected.
Is that Alabama? Talladega?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Dude, it's straight up. I didn't even realize this. Like, it's straight up. Here's the racetrack, and here's the woods next to the racetrack. Like, they're just at the track.
So Stu Baylor won, though.
Yeah.
Where'd KR end up?
I don't know. I haven't seen him come across the finish yet.
And Weege, do you want to tell the heartbreaking story before we go of what you're losing out
on? Oh, dude, we're an hour and a half into this pod. I'm good.
Okay.
Just... the kids at home is never fun when you're not home.
Well, it's not that. It's more like what you can't do now and the money that is really making me laugh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was this a weeks-long thing of booking a hotel at Disney World but not buying tickets to go to the park.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was pumped because it was going to work out in my favor. And then karma came around, and now we can't go at all. So the hotel money is burned.
No refunds. Yep.
Right now, there is a hotel room there right now that I'm paying for, and I'm not in the state of Florida, so bye-bye.
That's because you picked the rate, the prepaid rate that got you a better rate with no cancellation option. That's what you did.
When you're booking hotels within Disney World, you don't really have many options.
Oh, okay. All right.
They hold, as the president would say, they hold all the cards. They hold all the cards. Disney holds all the cards when you're planning a vacation.
Weege is in no position to be making demands. He doesn't have hold the cards.
100%.
All right.
Ask any family going to Disney. You do not hold the cards.
Well, you could fold them like Sexton, according to Lewis.
Oh.
All right. Well, listen, thanks for the time, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you to the sponsors. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Philip. I appreciate that. Phil's in tomorrow for the Pulp Mech show as well. So, all right, boys. Thanks.
Yeah.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners.